Good morning, Pearl Church. How you doing today? So good to see you. Man, what a worship service. Woo! God's presence is in this place, and I believe that if you have come in needing a touch from God, that today is a day that God wants to come and encourage your heart. I'm going to be preaching a message this morning called Preparing for Spring. And the contrast, we're in a contrast season, like Elliot was just saying. We're in a contrast, and what we're going to talk about this morning is the contrast between where you have been and where you are going. Wave at me if you kind of want to go into a new season and you feel like there's a transition. Just wave at me. There's room, hands all over here. I believe this moment that God wants to shift us as individuals and God wants to shift us as a church into a new season. Can I hear an amen? Even as I was walking my dog a couple times this week, I was like, oh, the sunshine, even in the natural, there is a shift. I mean, we always have sunshine, but it might be negative 20 degrees sometimes. This week, it was warm and it was fun to think about as I'm preparing for spring. The message that God has put in my heart is this. I believe some of us are in transition, and I want to pray for you before I get into the word this morning. I want to pray for you that God would speak straight into your spirit. I believe there's some things that God wants us to take a hold of in this in-between transition season right now. So put your hand on your heart. I just want to pray for you this morning. God, I pray that your words would go straight into our spirit, that you would speak life, that you would speak vision, that you would speak dreams, but you would also give us some practical tools today, God, that you would shape our hearts and shape our minds, God. It wouldn't be my words, God. It would be your words. So I pray for an anointing this morning in this moment, God. I pray that those that have been maybe in a winter season or in a tough season, God, I pray in Jesus' name that today there would be a divine shift that would begin in their life, God. Father, we thank you, Jesus, for every season, but God, in this transition, speak to us. Speak to us to know how we go from where we've been to where we are going, God. So we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you that as we sing, we can trust you, Lord. We thank you that one touch from you, Jesus, everything shifts. So this morning, God, we reach up to you, Jesus. And we ask for your presence to come and just be with us, God. Linger this morning, Father, as I dive in the word this morning, just that your presence would go so deep in our hearts. In the name of Jesus, amen. Can I hear an amen? Give your high five. Give a high five to your neighbor and say, it's time for spring. You know, I believe, like I said in that prayer, that there is something that's kind of happening that isn't just even in the natural. As we begin to see things shoot up and, you know, we see the grass begin to go green and we see signs of spring, I believe that God is speaking to us that we're actually in a shift. And maybe this is not even just a short winter season. I mean, if we go back, the last 4 years have maybe been a winter, right? There has been a season we have been in. And God this morning has been just moving on my heart to really help us shift our mindsets for where we were about to go. Because there is a sharp contrast from where we have been to where we are going. And I believe the Lord wants to say into your spirit today, get ready to go someplace new. This is going to be for you. This is going to be for us as a body. But I got to say this, what brought you this far is not going to be what takes you into the next season. That if God is going to take you into a new season, he needs to equip you, he needs to sharpen you, he needs to teach you. There's some things that are going to happen in the in-between. And we are going to go from surviving winter or like hunkering down for winter. You know, you got the blank on, you got the fire, you're like hunkering down. I got to get through this into a season where we are going to thrive like never before. But it's going to require some of us are going to have to like let go, all of us. But different ways we have to let go of the past. You know, we're in solemn assembly, which I just so appreciate that time where we just have focused time pressing into Jesus together as a church as we came together for nightly prayer. And the verse that God gave me for this year, God sometimes gives me a million verses for a year, but this year I felt like there was just one that just keeps coming up over and over. And it's Psalms 18, verse 19. It's just simply this: he brought me out to a spacious place, and he rescued me. Sorry, because he delighted in me. And here we are in the middle of Psalm Assembly, and I'm reading that, and I'm picturing obstacles moving out of the way. And I'm like, so just felt like the Holy Spirit said, we have been in a season, and I wouldn't say that's just been like a 3-month season, but it's been a season where there has been obstacles, where there's been distractions, where there's been like things that are in the way of going forward into what God has for us. And I felt like the Lord said to me, and I didn't share this in first service, but God prompted me in the worship service to be a little transparent in this moment. The Lord spoke to me when he gave me this verse. He said, Donna, you have learned to live in the hard seasons, and now I need to teach you how to live in seasons of abundance. How to live in seasons where there is spacious places and I'm not constantly tripping over things, but there is something God wants to shift in our spirit to prepare us to where we are going. And for some of us, to be honest, for me, I kind of like am a hunker down kind of girl. I'm like, give me hard and I know how to do it. Give me spacious and I feel a little bit disoriented. And the Holy Spirit said, I'm going to take you into the word. I'm going to take you through some things right now to teach you how to prepare to go into a spacious place. I think there's obstacles in your life that have been in your, maybe you had a dream or you had a promise that God gave you, and there's been obstacle after obstacle after obstacle. And now you've learned to just hunker down and trust God. But this is a moment now where God wants to shift us as a body, as individuals, in how to walk in a new season. Can I hear an amen this morning? God is going to teach us. So God took me back. You know, it's so interesting. I have spent almost an entire year in Joshua because I really could see. It's almost like I could just see what's ahead. I believe that there is new ground. We are going to take some new ground. I am praying for Denver, Colorado. I am praying for all of the churches and the pastors. I'm praying for the believers to wake up and to move in a season where we don't just like make it through and get to heaven, but that we actually step into the enemy's camp, if you know what I'm saying, and we take some territory. That we're not afraid of what's going on in the world around us, and we're not shrinking back and just hunkering down to get through and to stay staved enough that we can go to heaven, but that Christians would wake up and arise with the presence of God in them and to move into a season where we are actually taking ground. I mean, how many of you want to take some ground in your life? I'm kind of tired of hunkering down, and I believe God is shifting us to take on some new ground. So as I was thinking about Joshua, even as I was preparing for Beautiful Conference, and I spoke about Joshua taking Jericho, and we gave a shout. If you were at Beautiful Conference, give me a shout out right now. See how high that shout is? I just love that. That's women right there. Here we are. But we gave a shout of faith, right? And I was in this season, and as this year was turning, God planted that thought in my heart, that conference. But man, it's just God's cultivating that thought that there is something in between the wilderness and Jericho. It didn't just quickly just travel and all of a sudden it was time to take Jericho. There was some things that happened. And God began to take me into this in-between time where there literally had gone 40 years. And for context, for some of you who are new to Christ and maybe don't know the story, God had given his people a promise, but yet they did not believe that God was able to do it. And God had sent them into the wilderness to wander because they didn't have faith. But see, then Moses had died and he had appointed a new leader and his name was Joshua. And in chapter 1 of Joshua 1, God gave Joshua a promise. And he said, I'm going to give you a new territory. That promised land, we are going to go in and take it. So in chapter 1, he says, be strong and courageous. And he gives this promise. I believe there's a promise for each of us that God has for our lives for this new season. But then in chapter 2, Joshua sent some spies to kind of check it out. And they came back and they said, oh, they're scared of us because they have heard of the great works of God. And so we're kind of like seeing as you read the story, man, there's kind of like this faith growing in the community because these spies come back and they're like, they're scared of us. And I feel that kind of in our community. I kind of even feel that just personally where it's like, whew, something is kind of like shifting. I can't exactly put my finger on it, but like, I believe we're literally going to impact Denver, Colorado. Can I hear an amen? I believe something is shifting. Something is shaking in the atmosphere, and there is going to be something ahead. There's territory that we're going to take. And then we go to chapter 3 in Joshua, and now this moment where God says, you're going to take the Ark of the Covenant, which represented his presence, and you're going to step into the Jordan River and get a little wet, and you're going to see God part the waters. And God did a huge miracle, and all of the people of God walked through across the Jordan River on dry land, and they got to the other side, and here they are postured now. They just saw a miracle, and I felt like the Lord said to me, we have crossed, but there's things that have to happen before we take the land. We have crossed through some hard territory. We have gotten through to a new place. We're literally standing across the Jordan, and it's so interesting. I'm so visual, and I love when you look and you study just even the geography. It's once they'd crossed the Jordan River, Jericho was 2 miles away, which is not very far. That would just be like, let's just go up University, and there was a massive city that was called Jericho that had very tall, thick walls. So they crossed over the Jordan. And if you were me, I would be like amped. I'm like, God has given us this city. Let's go, right? And so I'm picturing myself in that moment where it's like there's something in my spirit. I want to take the land. I want to do what God's called me to do. And instead of just going immediately and getting marching orders, there were some things that God took the people through in the middle. Some of you are in the middle. God has given you a word. God has spoken to you. God has given you a promise. God has given you a dream. Something is beginning to percolate. You see something ahead. And God is going to teach us how to go from one season into the next season so that we are ready for the next season to take what God has for us. So the first thing that happened was God told them to mark the moment. He told them to build memorial stones. In Joshua chapter 4, it says this, after the entire nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua. He said, choose 12 men from the people, one man for each tribe, and command them. Take 12 stones from this place in the middle of the Jordan where the priests are standing and carry them with you and set them down to the place where you spend the night. So Joshua summoned the 12 men and he had selected one man for each tribe. And he said to them, go across to the Ark of the Lord your God in the middle of the Jordan. So interesting, these stones, these memorial stones came from the middle of the river, the middle of the miracle. Take those 12 stones and go across and lift a stone onto his shoulder, one for each of the Israelite tribes, so that this will be a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean to you? Your children will know, because you will say the water of the Jordan was cut off in front of the Ark of the Lord's covenant. When it crossed the Jordan's water was cut off. Therefore, these stones will always be a memorial for the Israelites. I think it's so beautiful that each tribe, like of the people of God, there was 12 tribes, and each one of them had to take a stone representing the miracle that they saw in their tribe and their family, and they each took a stone, and that when they cross the Jordan, they look ahead, they see Jericho, and God has them build a monument, a memorial place, so that there is a trail of faith for future generations. I think there's something that God wants us to do before we step forward that we need to mark the moment in our lives. We can't just like, oh yeah, that happened. No, that happened was a river opened up and a million people walked across the river. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes we do that, right? God provided for us. We pray, Lord, we don't have enough money for rent this month. And literally God somehow through miracles provides for us. And then 3 months later, we have forgotten. We haven't talked about it. We have nothing that marks the trail. And I believe God wants us in this season to mark the trail for the next generation. How does that happen? That happens me talking about it. I got to pass on what God's done to my children. I got to tell them what God did in 1999 when there was no way that we could buy a house and God did a miracle. I need to tell my children the miracles that happened. I need to declare the goodness of God. I need to leave a trail. You know, it's so funny, I leave a trail for myself even. Why do I do prayer journals? Because it's a way I communicate to God, but it's also so beautiful to look back and be like, whoo, look what God has done in my life and mark the way. I think I want to say to parents right now, we have to disciple our kids. Do you know that we're always one generation? Remember I said it 2 weeks ago, one generation away from people not knowing the understanding of worship if we don't pass on the truth. And here we are. There is some stories of God that will never be passed on to the next generation unless we tell the next generation. We need to tell our kids. We need to talk about it so that they just make them crazy. Where they now just hear, oh, mom's telling another testimony of what God did. Yes, I will. And I'm going to tell you again, and I'm going to tell you again, and I'm going to declare the good things that God has done. Because sometimes it's a lot easier to focus on just all the hard things, but God's saying, mark a trail. Why did he have them do that? Because it brings courage for challenges ahead. See, the next generation is going to face some new challenges, and they need to go back and say, how did we get here? And that will build courage. You know, it's time when I'm trying to do something new, I go find someone that has done it before, and I'll be like, oh, that builds courage in me. Like, I can do that. In that same way, when we say, oh, you have a challenge? Oh, let me tell you what God's done. We begin to literally build courage into the next generation to believe that God can do the impossible, that God can blow open things that we could never imagine. Even this facility, do you know 30 days before God opened up this facility, someone had a word, a prophetic word for us that said, God is going to give you a building. We needed a home for this church. God did a miracle, and we're never going to stop talking about it because it's part of the trail that marks the way. So we need those. Number two is God had them make and renew a covenant. And this happened through circumcision. And don't be awkward with me. This is the Bible. So Joshua 5 verses 2 to 9. And there's something about circumcision that they get marked. It was painful. They circumcised all the male children at 8 days old because it made them actually physically look different than all of the peoples on the earth. There was two things that marked the people of God. One of them I talked about 2 weeks ago were the presence of God. Like when Moses said, I'm not going to take a step forward unless your presence goes with me. Why? Because that's what distinguishes me from all of the people on the earth. See, God even marked his people in a physical way. As you move into the New Testament in Romans and Colossians, there's verses that talk about that we still as a people of God need to circumcise our hearts. We need to cut away some things that don't belong for us as Christians, that there's got to be a renewed covenant. In Joshua 5, it says, at that time, the Eternal One commanded Joshua to make flint knives and reinstate the rite of circumcision. See, because that didn't get passed on somehow in the wilderness. It says, so Joshua made flint knives as he was told to do, and the Israelite males were circumcised. This is because of all of the male Israelites who had fled from Egypt 40 years previous, and all the soldiers who had fought so bravely had been circumcised, but they had died along the journey. See, they didn't bring it into the next generation. So those who had been born during the journey had not yet been circumcised. So in verse 6, the Israelites had wandered, remember, in the wilderness for 40 years because they would not listen to the voice of God. God promised that none of the original community would live to enter the land he had promised, a land flowing with milk and honey. That's the story as it goes. And it says in verse 7, it was their children and grandchildren whom God raised up to receive that land instead. So Joshua circumcised those sons and grandsons now because it had been done previously. When they had all been circumcised, they remained in the camp till their wounds were healed. And it was here where they had piled up the stones that the Eternal spoke to Joshua. And God said, on this day, I've rolled away the shame of Egypt. And the place is called Gilgal, which means circle of stones, even today. We're going to come back to that. It's a little detail. But moving into a new season will require a separating from the ways of the old season and a willingness to separate from its comforts. There's some things in winter, like warm blankets, that we're going to have to separate from comforts, because that was what carried us in the last season, but it will actually limit us in the new season. There is going to be some sacrifice in every new season that comes in our lives. There is going to be a need to have a renewed commitment, covenant with God, and something that actually is going to get cut away. It was going to actually kind of feel uncomfortable for a minute as we let go of what was. And you know, I think about this. We have some professional athletes in our church, and I was talking to them about their routine. And it was kind of like, wow, that's a routine, right? You know, it's like they are so careful from the micros and the macros and when they exercise and how much water they drink and how much sleep they get. And you know, why they do that is because they are set apart for a special purpose. See, they're doing those things because they know that they're a professional athlete. So they are actually setting some things aside in their life. They're probably not eating Skittles and pizza every night till 2 a.m. because they're going to be playing in the Super Bowl the next day. So let me ask you a question. Do they think that they have sacrificed something, or that they're focused on what they lost? Do you think when those guys won the Super Bowl, I can't even quite mention their names, but the guys that once, I love you, the guys that won the Super Bowl, do you think that they're talking about the pizza they didn't have last Tuesday night? Is that a sacrifice? No, because there is a willingness when we understand our assignment, when we understand our calling, there is a willingness to set ourselves aside because we are set apart for something special. There is a holy calling on our lives. And we can, as Christians sometimes, we so don't want to be legalistic that, okay, let's just look like the world. Do you know what the church has done for the last 10 years? We have tried to position ourselves and look like the world so that we do not make the world uncomfortable when they're finding Christ. But the problem is that now the world cannot tell the difference between a believer and a non-believer. Their lifestyle is the same. Their attitudes are the same. There is no difference. And this is a marked moment now where we have to circumcise our hearts and say, guess what? I'm not doing that, and I'm not sad about it, because guess what? I am set apart for a holy calling. I don't even care about that. Who cares about that pizza Tuesday night? Because I'm in the Super Bowl today. Do you hear what I'm saying? Who cares about that thing that I'm not even going to be part of? Because guess what? I get to wake up tomorrow and preach the gospel. Because that's what God has put on my life. That I am saying, God, I am making a renewed covenant. And I felt this morning as I was praying that some of you, some of the comforts or the things, the lifestyle that you've lived in, God's going to tap your shoulder today and say, no more. It might not even be sin. It might not even be a bad thing. But God's going to tap on your shoulder and say, guess what? It's time for you to get up and pray at 6 a.m. each day. Maybe this is a season where you're going to say goodbye to some things. Maybe it is alcohol. Not because drinking is a sin. It's not. But for you, it might be a stumbling block for where God is taking you in your holy calling. And you have to set yourself apart from something so that you can live out what God has for your life. Do you hear what I'm saying? We have to be willing, and it might be painful. It might be something that's like, oof, that was comfortable. Like, I liked that. But yet God's saying, are you willing to move forward? We have to let those things go. I want to say this too. You know, it's so interesting, the detail it says, and God waited for them to heal completely before they took the land. So they cross the Jordan. They build the stones, memorial stones. And then they're circumcised. And then God just pauses. I mean, there's Jericho, like literally 2 miles away. God just pauses. And in these moments, God wants to bring a complete healing to our hearts. He wants to bring some things in your life full circle. And how interesting that Gilgal means a circle of stones. You know, circles don't end, right? We think about the rainbow. See, rainbow is even a circle because it's a sign of an unending covenant that God made with Noah, that he would not destroy the earth again with a flood. God makes covenants. And even in this moment, I feel like there's some of you who have gone on a journey, and God has brought you to this place, brought you to this house, and God is going to bring some things in your life full circle, and the healing is going to come full circle to prepare you for the moment where you are going to step in to what you were designed to do in the future. Do you hear what I'm saying? God is going to, even some of those painful memories or the things that are hard, God is going to heal you and bring you to a place of abundance. Number three, embrace change. This is the moment where God had them celebrate the Passover. How many love change in this room? Raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. Some of you do. I don't. I like the same. I said to first service, I love the Spaghetti Factory, and I wish it was closer to me, but it's really far away. The one's close down. But I have eaten. I was thinking about it. I have eaten the same half meat, half mazithra, cream pesto on the salad. I have eaten that same meal for literally since I was probably 18 years old when I went there first. Isn't that crazy? Because I am just like a person that doesn't like change. Some of you are like, oh my gosh, that's so boring. You gotta go to a new place every time. I'm like, no, I'm good. I'll just go to the same 5 restaurants for the rest of my life. I'm good. But see, we as Christians sometimes settle in. And we're like, this is just where we're at. Like, this is how I know. This is how I hunker down. And God's saying, no, we have to embrace change. And here's what he says in Joshua 5 verses 10 to 12. While the Israelites were encamped at Gilgal on the desert plain east of Jericho, they celebrated their first Passover on the evening of the 14th of the month in the land that the Lord had promised. So again, I want you to picture, this is the word of God, but it like happened. It's real story that is being told. They made the stones, they're across the river, they make the stones, they get circumcised, and here they are. They can see Jericho, and God says, no, I want you to celebrate the Passover. See, Passover, going back 40 years, was when God had freed the people. And the Passover was a celebration celebrating the freedom that they experienced, leaving Egypt, leaving their slavery. But it says this, that they ate some produce of the land, roasted grain and flatbread. And then in verse 12, beginning after that Passover, the Israelites were no longer fed with manna, as they were in the desert. From that day, they ate from the new land, and the manna ceased. From then on, they ate only the crops of the land. You know, God will break our dependency on manna before taking us into new seasons. Miracle provision will be found in the ground that we work. See, if you think about a whole generation had lived, and what happened was they were in the wilderness for 40 years, the people of God. And every morning, because they didn't have food, they moved and moved and moved, and they just kind of traveled around the desert. God provided for them. He would provide manna that would just be on the ground, and he would provide quail for protein, I'm sure. And they did not have to work the ground. They did not have to sow. They did not have to plow. They did not have to harvest. A whole generation did not even know how to grow food. They did not know how to do it because they'd never had to do it. That manna was provision for a past season. But here they are in a new season, ready to go into a new season, and immediately the manna ceases. There is some things that now we're going to go from that just kind of like, God's just helped me get through that. And now God's like, no, it's time to dig in the ground again. It's time for you not to just rely on me to be everything. I say to God, you're everything that I need. And sometimes God's like, Get up and do something. Do some work. I think this is a moment where God is shifting in the atmosphere where it's time for Christians to not just hunker down and make it to heaven. This is the time where Christians are going to need to roll up their sleeves and be the hands and the feet of Jesus. This is time for parents to disciple their kids. This is a time for us to press into the Word of God and to dig into the Word of God. Of course, God will carry you, but if you want to stay and receive manna, you can't go to Jericho. If you're going to go into the new land, you have to let go of what was. That miracle is in the ground. You know, as I was praying in January, I was praying for us as a church. I was like, God, I'm praying, Jesus, for growth, for salvations, for people to be transformed. And literally the phrase just popped into my head, I believe by the Holy Spirit, said the miracle is in the ground. And I was like, okay. And I got this picture. We have to dig into the ground. We have to literally dig and carve out a place and plant some seed, and we have to water it, and we have to till the ground that God has given us. If you think about all the treasures, whether it's gold or aluminum or even diamonds, all of the treasures, they have to actually be dug out. And this is going to be a time where I believe that God is going to ask us to give him our walking stick that we had for 40 years. We walked with a walking stick, and he's gonna be like, yeah, that's not gonna work. It's time, and he's going to take the walking stick from us, and he's going to take, here's a shovel, here's a plow, here's something. You're going to have to work the ground that I have given you. This is going to be a new season. This new season's going to require new clothes, because what was appropriate when you were walking in the wilderness for 40 years is not going to be what's appropriate when now you are in a new season and you're about ready to take new territory. See, you're going to need some warrior clothes because you're going to take Jericho. You're also going to need some like clothes that help you, that have the things that you can do to work the land, to be a farmer. You're no longer to be wandering. You're going to actually be working and doing some things. So we have to go. We have to change our clothing. It's time to live. I know I said this 2 weeks ago, but I'm saying it again. It is time to live with the garments of praise. It is time to stop talking about all the things and the grumblings and all. And we are headed into a crazy season, even politically. Just get rid of it. Put on the garment of praise, and we are to be clothed with a garment of praise. That's what's going to be appropriate for this season. This new season is going to require a new attitude. We're going to have to walk as victors, as more than conquerors, instead of walking around as victims. No longer can we have that attitude that we're just getting through it. We're just getting through another day. No, I feel like God spoke to me. I got to wake up every morning and say, I am more than a conqueror. I preach it to the women. I have what I need. God has given me everything that I need in this season, and I'm going to walk, and I'm going to talk, and I'm going to have an attitude that lines up with that mindset. So that I'm working on my gratefulness. God, you are so good. New seasons require new tools. We got to lay down the survival tools. There's tools if you're going to go and just be in the wilderness that you just need to survive. You got to lay them down. You don't need them anymore. What you need to do is pick up advancement tools. You need to get some plows. You need to go find some seeds. You need to plant it. You need to get some watering cans. You need to get some hoses. We got to retool in this season. And you got to give up some of those things. It is time. You want one of the new tools? It's not a new tool, but for us in this season, it might be. It's time to intercede. Good old-fashioned intercede. Not just throw up a prayer to heaven and just be like, God, be with me today. No, it's time for some of us, all of us, to intercede that God will move in our land. We need God to heal our land. We need God to heal our land. I'm gonna say it one more time. We need God to heal our land. Where's the church that is going to have the time to intercede, to say, God, I'm going to put a new tool. I've never done this before. I'm going to begin to pray for our nation like never before. I'm going to begin to pray that miracles happen. I'm going to pray for the broken. I'm going to pray for the needy. I'm going to intercede instead of just complaining about how bad everything is. I want a war in the spirit in the season. I want to do that. It's a new tool. It's time to disciple as a team. We've been talking a lot about it. How can we grow in Christ? How can we literally not just be ones that say, God, I'm a Christian, but know how to grow in our faith? We're going to need some new tools because it's time for us to work the land. This new season is going to require a new mindset and habit. We're going to have to go from walking to working. And some of us don't like working. And I'm telling you, if we're going to reach our city and we're going to begin to press into prisons and reach the lost, it's going to take some people, some volunteers to show up. And you know what my Bible says? It says, in the day of my power, people will be willing. Volunteers will be willing. And I've seen this in our community. But I believe there's going to be even another realm of it. As we step in to press into our community, it is going to take something called work. We cannot avoid it. How many love to avoid pain or work? Or workouts, maybe. I don't know. Wave at me. Okay, there's five of you. I do. I'm like, oh. But I had a friend tell me this week, and it was so good, because I've just had a season, and I'm having to even challenge myself on that. She's like, just say you're going to do 5 minutes. And then all of a sudden, you just like kind of keep going. But I avoid. We all do. Here's Samuel Chan says this. Growth equals change. Change equals loss. Loss equals pain, so inevitably, growth equals pain. Pain is a part of progress. Anything that grows experiences some pain. So if I avoid all pain, I am avoiding growth. There is going to be some work. There's going to be some blisters. Do you know what happens when you work the garden? You get blisters, you get slivers, you get sweaty, you get hot. There is going to be a season, I believe, if we're going into spring, where we got to have some spring in our steps and be okay with being a little tired and having a little bit of a neck sore, because we're saying it's a new season and we are going to take the land. Francis Chan says this, you'll grow only to the threshold of your pain. If you're not hurting, you're not leading. That kind of stabbed me a little bit. I was like, ugh, I don't like that. But growth, you wanna take some new territory, Pearl Church? You wanna grow as an individual? You wanna grow as a husband or a wife or a daughter? You wanna grow in relationship? It's going to take some pain. We gotta change our habits. We gotta change our go-tos. We gotta wash off the fears. We have to wash off the dependency on that manna that's just there. We have to change our clothes. We have to say, God, no matter what it is, I'm going to step forward into this new season because God has something for me. And the final thing is this, position yourself. I love this part of the story. So remember, they've crossed the Jordan, they've built the memorial stones, they've circumcised all the males, they cut something away, there was some pain involved. Then they celebrated the Passover with a realization that no more was there just going to be free food. They are going to have to actually work for their food. And here they are, man. You can just feel this moment. Joshua decides to take a journey to just travel around Jericho to see it. Joshua 5, 13 to 15, it says, now when Joshua was traveling near the city of Jericho, he saw a man standing in front of him with a sword drawn and ready. So Joshua steps towards him and he says, are you one of us or are you one of our enemies? Logical question, right? There's this man standing there. And the man says, neither. I am here now as the commander of the Eternal's army. Of course, this was Jesus, who is a Christophany, when Jesus himself in the Old Testament appears. So then Joshua falls to the ground. He realizes who he is and he says, what is the command for your servant, my Lord? And the man said, take off your sandals, for you are on holy ground. So Joshua did. I want to say this, until we humbly come before God, we will miss out on his instructions that will take us into the new territory. Because holy strategies are given on holy ground. You know, we can go to the blogs, we can read a million books, but holy instructions are given on holy ground. Do you know, I think about this moment. In this moment, Joshua kneels before this man who is Jesus, takes off his sandals, takes off his shoes, and there's this holy ground moment. And there he was given the most unique instructions that an army has ever been given to take a city. Because if he would have gone, if Joshua had gone to some other commanders around the region and been like, how do I take Jericho? What's the greatest strategy? I promise you, their strategy would not involve walking around a city quietly. It just wouldn't make any sense. But see, there's some things in our lives that the Holy Spirit wants us to lead us to. He wants us to take new territory. He has something for you in that business, but he is waiting for you to stop asking everybody around you for the wisdom that only he can provide. But that holy assignment, that holy instructions that he's literally waiting to give you will only happen in a moment where you humble yourself before him on holy ground. That's where he's going to give it to you. You know, as they take off the shoes, it was a symbol of identity. As he took off, you know, in that culture, it was something that they said was like a relinquishing of control. As long as when you gave those shoes and you took them off, it was saying, I'm no longer in control. My path where I walk is no longer, God, I give you control of my next step. I let you control this moment. It is this moment of humility. Holy strategies for your life, the decisions that you're making right now are not going to happen by you just talking to a million people, by you reading everything you can read. There's some holy ground moments that God wants with each and every one of us, because he wants to guide us. He wants to take us into this new season. He wants to give us some unique instructions that only he can give. He might have you walking in circles like the people did around Jericho, that all the glory would go to him when God does a miracle and they go into that land. Prophetically, I believe that we're moving from a defensive position as Christians to an offensive position where we are going to begin to take some territory. But that takes us as individuals saying, God, I want to move forward. If you're setting me apart, I got to let go of something. Help me in this moment. Help me be willing to set myself apart from those conversations. They're not for me anymore. That lifestyle, that attitude, they're not for me. And God is even speaking into your heart right now. Are you willing? Are you willing to say yes? Are you willing to set yourself in a place that makes you not look like the world? You know, I said this at Beautiful, but our faith is most often tested when the scenery doesn't change. And there's these times where you think about the people of Israel there, and the holy instructions said, walk around Jericho. They still didn't take the land. Good heavens, do you ever feel that way where you're like, I'm still walking around the same thing? And God sometimes has us do things we don't understand. But going in circles quietly without complaining might be the last test of your faith before taking your Jericho. God sometimes is going to give us some instructions to test our hearts, to make sure we are truly humble before God. And I believe in the presence of Jesus this morning, there's some of you that God is setting apart. I remember years ago, I was 16 years old, and God said, hey, I don't want you to listen to secular music. And I was raised in a church. It was an awesome church, but there was a little bit of legalism. And there was times where, you know, there was a reaction to that. But yet this was nothing to do with rules or regulations. That was not a sin, whatever you want to say. But the Holy Spirit nudged my heart because he was setting me apart for a holy calling. There was something he wanted me to sacrifice. Would I be willing to sacrifice that so I could carry something on my life for worship? Do you think I regret that moment as 16? No, because God did something so beautiful. Something happened in my life because of that decision. Some of you are in a place of decision right now, and you can see a new season ahead, but God is tapping your heart to stop living in a way that you're living. Might be some area of your life that God's saying, no more, no more. Some of you, I believe, are in transition. And you've been like wondering, and you've been trying to like, you're a planner and you have all the this and that and all the, you know, all the things around you. And I just picture you writing pages of things, and God's like, hey, hello, I'm over here. I have some holy instructions for you for this next season. It's a business thing. I'm gonna lead you to, but it's not the normal path that you're gonna get there. It's a relationship thing that I'm gonna give you a different approach than what you maybe think you're gonna take. I'm gonna give you some holy instructions as we transition in our lives into this new season. If you'll stand with me, I wanna pray for some of you today. I believe that there is going to be some holy ground moments even in this place. If you'll just bow your heads with me and close your eyes. Some of you, God is speaking to you right now. And maybe some things have been like okay in this last season, it's fine. But there's something like tugging on your heart and pulling your heart further to a place of trust, to a place of surrender, to a place of being more fully set apart for Him. And I believe some of you are in this season where God's saying, hey, hey, He's trying to get your attention right now. He's saying, you're trying to figure this out. You're trying to figure that out. You're trying to make this decision. You don't know what to do. And I'm over here and I want to have some moments with you. But you have to be willing to take off your shoes. You have to be willing to say, God, I relinquish control. I'm not going to try to control the narrative. I'm not going to try to control the future. I am relinquishing control. And I'm saying, God, whatever you will, that's what I want. Some of you in this moment, your heart is pounding because you know God is asking you something. Maybe God is asking you to lay something down. Maybe it feels like God is even asking you to lay down a dream that you thought was for Him. The Holy Spirit, I promise you, if He is nudging your heart, listen, listen, listen. Close your eyes with me in the presence of Jesus. If you have been in this place where you feel like the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, maybe He's asking you to lay something aside or something be set apart for Him, or He is saying, I need some holy ground moments with you. If that's you, I just want you to lift your hands. I want to pray for you this morning. I believe that right now in this moment, that the Holy Spirit is going to do something significant and supernatural. So lift your hands if that's you. Maybe you've been stubborn. You're like, I don't want to listen to that plan. And God's like, relinquish control, relinquish control. I want to ask you to do something. And this is a step of faith. If your hand is lifted anywhere in this building, this is a holy ground moment. Why do we have you come to the altar? It's because we do something physical that says, God, I'm signifying to you. I'm relinquishing control. This is uncomfortable, God, but I want to be set apart. This is not my will. This is not your will. I want you to make your way to the front. And we're going to have some holy ground moments. I want you to kneel down to Jesus right now if you're comfortable in this moment and you're saying, God, God, I need your holy instructions. I need you to speak to me, God. Father, I am willing to say yes. I'm sorry I keep saying no. God, I am willing to do the hard thing, God, because I want your will in my life. God, I want to set apart fully. God, I want to give you all the control. Come on, don't miss this moment. If that's you, I'm going to wait one more minute. If that's you, come down here because God in this moment wants to do something that goes beyond the natural, something in the supernatural. I believe there's going to be some divine shifts. And when we are obedient to God's leading, something happens in the spirit and something's going to shift. So if your heart is still pounding, I want you to make your way here. God wants to speak to you. There is some holy ground down here. Come on, yes. There's some holy ground in this moment. And God's saying, will you say yes? Will you say yes? Will you come to me? Will you come to me? We're going to sing a song that we just sang. But in this moment, if you're down here, I want to pray for you right now before we go into that. If you're down here, this is you having a time with Jesus. You might never forget this moment. God might require something of you that you just never thought you could lay down in this moment. Might be a relationship, might be a dream, might be whatever it is. But I promise you, you will never, ever regret obeying the voice of the Holy Spirit. So all of us, can we just put our hands on our hearts right now? If you're up front or if you're also in the congregation, Jesus, God, you have our hearts today, God. Father, in your presence, in this moment, God, I pray, Jesus, there would be some divine shifts. There would be divine shifts in our spirit, in our ways of thinking, God. Father, I pray those things that we've been clinging on to and hanging on to, God, that in this moment, Father, in this holy ground moment when we're here laying at the altar, God, that it would not be our will, it would not be our way, it would not be our mindset, it would not be our thing, but it would be you. It would be your voice, God. So I pray even in this moment, in this season, God, I pray for holy instructions. God, that you would give us the strategies, that you would help us make the decisions that you choose, God. Father, this is holy ground. Man, I can't just get over that. This is holy ground. If you're out in the congregation, just ask the Holy Spirit to move you into a season of holy ground where we live daily, moment by moment, saying, Jesus, what do you have for me? Jesus, what do you want me to do? Jesus, how do you want me to respond to that text? Jesus, what do you want me to do with my job? Jesus, how do I fix my marriage? Jesus, Jesus. Let us not try to do these things on our own, God. We come today, God, and we say, your will, not mine, God. Jesus, Jesus, Holy Spirit, you are in this place, God. You are in this place. Everybody just lift your hands straight up to Jesus at the altar. You can stay there. If you can lift your hands, that's great. Lift your hands straight up to Jesus, God. Today we take this moment, God, to put you back in your rightful place, God. Let us be ones who say, Jesus, not my will, but yours. As we move into this next season, God, as you transition us, as things gotta be let go, God, I pray that we would have the courage and the faith to let go of the manna, that we would have the courage and the faith to pick up a plow. God, I pray that you would raise up your church, that you would awaken your church, Father, to do the work of the ministry, God. Father, that they would begin to reach into their community, that they would begin to spread the gospel, that they would begin to reach into all of their areas of influence. God, we thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And right now, God, we reach up to you and we just say, God, we trust you. We trust you with everything in us, God. Jesus, let this moment be like branded in our hearts, God. As we sing this and we come to a close, I want your spirit to just literally reach up to Jesus with everything and say, God, I trust you. I trust you. I trust you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I trust in God. Come on, sing it. My Savior, the one, he will never. Come on, he's never gonna fail you. Whatever you're laying down at the altar right now, God is never going to fail you. Come on, say it.
And I trust in God, my Savior.
Come on,
my Savior.
Come on, that if faith comes.